As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
As we promised you heading into the break, we would talk local business issues with the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. It is my great friend Eric Spoonmore. Good afternoon. Happy Monday, my man.
Hey, Glass. How are you?
I'm better.
Thanks for having me. I'm enjoying the nice, cool, crisp fall air today.
Just for today. Maybe a little tomorrow.
Yeah, just for today. Yeah.
We'll have to go apple picking after the show just to get it in before the temperature goes to 88 for the, it seems like, the rest of the week. Mondays are always better with our local leaders because I'm like everybody else. I have too much fun on the weekend, then I get back on Monday, and then I look at the headlines, and it's all disaster this, bad that, here's who's in jail. And I don't want to do it, so I'd rather talk about our community. And you can help me out because you've been busy lately. So have the players on the county commissioners, county council, city council, in every business. Visit Bloomington, DBI. Who is on your lineup card I'm missing? But everybody has a stake in this, including the taxpayers and voters of Monroe County and Bloomington, Indiana. Where do we stand here on a Monday afternoon? Where is the progress, or what is the next step in this convention center switcheroo move on project? I don't even know what to categorize this as. Where are we in all of this?
You know, I was telling our staff earlier in our team meeting that this convention center discussion is kind of like a visual of the game of Plinko. You remember that game on The Price is Right? You drop the coin and it just kind of bounces around from one place to the next. And it just seems like that's kind of how the conversation has been going lately. You know, at early on, we had thought that maybe the commissioners, county commissioners, were not as interested in a pathway forward for convention center expansion plans. Over the last couple of weeks, we've now learned that the commissioners have publicly stated they're ready to move forward with a capital improvement board governance structure, which is pretty much where we were back in 2020 before the pandemic started and all of the discussions just kind of stalled out. So we were trying to get to that goal of establishing a capital improvement board. And so now the commissioners have indicated that that's how they would prefer to move forward. Well, in a meeting last week, we had some city representatives and county representatives, and they were all talking. Some of the city administration representative there said, well, we're not interested in a capital improvement board. And then the city council president said, well, we are much interested in a capital improvement board. So I don't know anymore. I hope that, you know, what I hope, and I think everybody looking and listening to this just hopes that we can get a partnership in place that would allow the city and the county to move forward on an expansion of the convention center. And so it was very nice to see in the NatU Hill room a couple of weeks ago the elected leaders sitting around the table kind of talking civilly about a pathway forward. And that was, we haven't seen that in you know, 2-3 years. But we've got to get everybody kind of on the same page here as to what that governance structure is going to be. The chamber, we really are kind of neutral on that. We don't care how the governance is going to be set up. We just want to see some meaningful progress, and we want that to happen rapidly because we know the Indiana State Legislature is going to be reconvening here in a matter of months. That legislation that will be looking to sunset the food and beverage tax here locally is going to come back. We're very confident of that. And unless we get some meaningful progress, I think we're going to be right in the crosshairs again of the General Assembly and that particular legislation that would really put the food and beverage tax funding mechanism into jeopardy for the expansion of our convention center. And that would be really sad.
Eric Spoonmore is our guest this afternoon. And you mentioned the what is it called when the group that the city all of a sudden doesn't want why have
capital
I,
improvement
capital CIB. I was trying to think of the mm-hmm. DBI, CIB, gee whiz, FBI. Somebody get me some help. Get me a gin and tonic. But the issue is how did we forget what our positions were, or has that changed over time? Is it a legal angle there that says if we have a capital improvement board, this will get it to the finish line the quickest? What seems to be the hurdle in your opinion, because that's the only one that matters this afternoon?
Well, what had happened, what had kind of transpired was the city, I think, was thinking, you know, very innovatively, and we all wanted to see progress with this conversation, and we just weren't hearing much from the county commissioners. And so the city said, well, why don't we make an offer to transfer the assets? And so that's where, and then the city would then kind of take control of the whole process, and they would set up a nonprofit organization that would manage the construction and expansion process for the convention center. So we pitched that idea to the county commissioners. They didn't receive that real warmly, and so they came back and said, well, we would like to kind of go back to those discussions that we were having 2 years ago about a capital improvement board. And now the capital improvement board can only be established by the county commissioners. So, you know, that could happen tomorrow if they wanted to. They could write legislation and create the capital improvement board. I don't think that they're going to be moving that quickly on it. But I think the city was, you know, just interested. The whole impetus for this, the whole genesis of it, was the city was just interested in getting a quick solution in place that would allow them to get moving on this convention center expansion in light of the commissioners not really taking much of an interest in it over the last couple of years.
With all of that being said, why don't we want to move fast with it? You've outlined the legislative measures that could be taking place. Is this just all a leverage angle?
Well,
because Marty Hawk has told me now perhaps the county wants the Fullerton Pike 87 acres or however many that is. Forgive me if I'm off a couple of acres. They want that mm-hmm. zoned a different way. Is that a big holdup? How do you view this? Folks, and if you're just joining us, Eric Spoonmore has sat on the county council before, so I can ask him some different questions as opposed to different leaderships. He understands how the sausage is made. So is that a holdup, or do you say, why wouldn't we zone that property out there for that reason? What are the sticking points that I'm missing, I guess?
Well, in that meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago that was held between among the local elected leaders, it was interesting to hear Commissioner Thomas kind of tie the two projects together. The new jail expansion that they're looking at and the zoning that's required for that, as well as the convention center expansion. And so, you know, I would think and hope that those two projects aren't tied together in any way. I mean, to me, they're very separate, and, you know, they serve separate purposes and have separate missions. And so, yeah, I'm not quite sure what is going on with that there, but clearly there was some connection made. And I know that that land down there on the south side that you were talking about, that 87 acres that the county is looking at for the new jail facility expansion, would need to be rezoned. They were planning to have that rezone hearing this evening, but it got postponed a month because the county wasn't able to notice it properly for the full 21 days that it needed to be noticed. So they have to kind of, that's going to hold that up for another month, and not sure how that's going to affect anything, but certainly won't make things move any quicker, that's for sure.
And the other part of this as well is we've heard there's going to be some appraisals. Are the appraisals being done? Do we need to do that? I've heard Jeff McKim mention through various articles I've read that the property south of the Courtyard Marriott will never be a jail. We've got all these moving parts. It just seems like everybody's got their hand in it at some point, and we're all pulling it in different directions. Is that a decent way of characterizing this? It doesn't seem like anybody wants to row the boat together.
Well, and that's what we're trying to get everybody to kind of come to consensus on. And that's what's been the challenge, frankly, over the last, 20 years.
I was going to say a little longer than that.
About this. I do feel confident that we can still get a deal made. I think everybody understands the importance of this project from an economic development standpoint, and we want to see it happen, and we want to deliver on the promises that were made to voters and to taxpayers when that food and beverage tax passed in 2017. All the elected officials agreed then that they would work together to do this. If that means it's a capital improvement board governance structure, then we would hope that they would agree to that. If that means it's a nonprofit organization that's managed by the city, well, we would hope that folks can come together and agree that that's the best way to do it. But our stance on this is just do something. Status quo is no longer an option for the community on this project. We've got to get some meaningful progress. We've got to demonstrate to the taxpayers that we're accountable and delivering on promises that were made to them.
And the next step in this, I'll call it a soap opera. I can do that. Those are my words. The next step is what? Do you guys slide a note under the door and say, hey, if you want to meet us over here for a coffee, that'd be great? Or does somebody have an agenda? Who's the ringleader? This is you, Spoonmore. You need to start banging a gavel or something and walking around town and say, hey, let's go.
Yeah, well, we are. There's more meetings in the works. They're going to be meeting in the Nat U Hill room again here. I'm not sure what the exact date is or if they've settled on that, but it'll be in the next couple of weeks to continue this discussion. And that will, again, it'll be that group of commissioners, city administration representatives, city council, county council, all kind of working together here. So we're going to continue to have a very visible presence, very vocal presence in these meetings, and encouraging elected leaders to be working together on achieving progress. And we're happy to help and facilitate those discussions in any way that we can. And so that's the goal.
Yeah, it's easier to quit. It's easier to say the hell with it, take your toys and go home. But that's not, as you said, what, 20 years? 20
years?
20, just 20?
20
just,
years,
just
yeah.
20?
Yeah.
it feels like, with all the stories, it feels like it's longer than that. Eric Spoonmore is our guest, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. By the way, you have more things to do than just to officiate or organize or get everybody together. You guys have been busy. You had a bunch of, you had a couple grand openings last week. Later in the week, you were down on Kirkwood for one at Raising Cane's, and you also were at AMI Roofing. Tell us what you saw there and how and why local business is so important to our community and driving people into our community to use these local businesses as all connected.
Well, these are, great partners to the Chamber, and we're so appreciative of their membership. It was really cool to be down there at Raising Cane's. I know that a lot of people have been anticipating the opening of that restaurant down on Kirkwood Avenue, and it was a huge crowd of community members and students. They gave away 20 free passes,
right?
Yeah, free chicken for a year. So that was something to see, and a lot of people excited about that. But the IU cheerleaders were out there. Some IU football players were there. It was just a really exciting time to be celebrating the opening of a new business here in Bloomington, and we appreciate the investment. And, Raising Cane's does a lot in the communities that they operate into. They're very involved in giving back and making a difference. So, that goes right along with our mission at the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. Better business, better community.
Do sometimes the chains, Eric, get a bad reputation because they're quote-unquote chains? I mean, these are people that live and work here, right? And franchisees and things like that.
Yeah.
It's not always perfect like that, but they have a little bit more power perhaps than the one store or two stores of a mom and pop. It's not bad or good. Right. It's just a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit different. And everyone has opinions about those kinds of things. And, at the end of the day, the Chamber of Commerce is a small business advocacy group. And, you look at a franchisee and an owner of a franchise, any type of franchise, nine times out of ten, those are considered small businesses. And they're people living in the community. They're people paying local taxes. They're people that are, you know, giving back in their communities, you know, very similar to the very next day we go over to AMI Roofing. We had a great celebration out there. They had a big band, and they're celebrating the opening of their new location. They've been growing. So it's good to see all of that. And, you know, we're very fortunate in Bloomington to have large businesses and medium-sized businesses and small businesses that are, you know, really contributing to the tax base that allows such wonderful public services that we have to offer here in Bloomington and Monroe County. And so, you know, we just really appreciate all of that.
Now,
don't let me forget, on Friday. Well, we had an extra special ribbon cutting. This was at the Indian Cultural Center out on 48, just west of town. And this was a really fun event. They were celebrating all night. We got out there at about 4 o'clock, lots of food, lots of people and celebration and dancing. And it was a really spectacular event that we had at the Indian Cultural Center. They had their celebrating their grand opening out there, so that was a lot of fun as well, too. We had a blast.
And we're not even halfway through September yet, and you've got some big things happening, including Business After Hours on the 22nd, and most importantly, the 107th Annual Meeting and Community Awards, the final Thursday of this month. Take it away.
Yeah, we got a big Business After Hours coming up here on the 22nd. That's going to be at the Mill. We have a great partnership with the Mill and Pat East and the folks over there, so really looking forward to that. That's going to be kind of a tailgate theme Business After Hours. So if anybody's interested in going out to that, be sure to wear your tailgate gear for the Business After Hours at the Mill. I know Upland will be there kind of catering and having beer available for purchase, so we're really looking forward to a big crowd on the 22nd over at the Mill. We've got RCV Roofing is having a big community party. They're a great member, longtime member of the Chamber of Commerce, so that'll be on Friday at 5:30 p.m. out at their location. You mentioned that we've got the 107th Annual Meeting and Community Awards for the Chamber. I think it is so impressive that this difference-making organization has been in this community for that period of time, 107 years. And so we're really looking forward to having that. The big annual meeting will have well over 450 people there on the 29th, Thursday, at the Convention Center. The meeting will start at 11, and then we'll start the award ceremony right around noon or so and conclude everything by 1. So that's always one of the signature key events that we put on every year.
How do I get tickets, Eric, if I want to be at the big celebration on the 29th?
Well, you go to our website, chamberbloomington.org, and you go to events and you sign up.
Oh, that's too easy.
Or you can just contact me directly, and I can get you in touch with all of the right folks to get you signed up for the annual awards and annual meeting on the 29th.
So other than that, you got nothing going on. Well, that's good. Put your feet up. Enjoy this Monday of everything going on, and it's never a dull moment. Chamberbloomington.org. That's where I get all my information. You should do it as well. Follow them on social and all the other fun things going on. And I will be bugging you down the road, my friend, trying to help me navigate through the governmental entities in the old three-ring circus of trying to put this convention center together. I really appreciate your time, pal. Thank you.
I am always happy to join, and thanks again for having me on there. And look forward to getting some progress on this convention center. We're going to get there, Glass. I promise you.
All right, I believe you, and that's what I'm all for this. I'm just trying to figure out how it's going to work. That's the puzzle pieces that I am missing right now. Thanks, Eric. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll make sure we remind everybody about the big events coming up later this month. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, my friend.